B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Mike and I are here to recap WrestleMania and the WrestleMania weekend, our highlights from the entire weekend we're going to talk about on this episode of Wrestling Inside the Ropes, which you can get on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike and I, we had similar but different weekends. I had a fabulous weekend. Mike, I'm going to assume that you have a fabulous weekend. We're going to talk about all of it. But where I want to begin is, Mike, I want to get your general thought about the main event of WrestleMania. It was Becky Lynch winning the Raw and SmackDown Women's Championship by pinning Ronda Rousey. It looked like a botched finish. It was a controversial ending. I have a rather long thought on the match and the finish, more specifically. So, Mike, I want to start with you. Your impressions of the match, your impressions of the finish. Was it botched? Was it legit?
Sure. So before I go to the botched and the legit, I just want to say that, you know, and I think we're both in agreement here, Jimmy, that WrestleMania was a very long show. And by the time that Becky Lynch won both the SmackDown women's title and the Raw women's title, the crowd, I think, was not 100% out of it. But, you know, there wasn't the full energy you had at 5 o'clock.
The crowd was more interested in how am I getting home? It's after midnight.
Exactly. And that was a major problem, I think, with a pop for Becky Lynch. Now, I'm not saying that everyone wasn't happy for her or whatnot, but by the time she got the 1-2-3 on Ronda, half of my section had bolted. They were out. Okay. So you're right. They wanted to get the hell out. Now, I thought initially that it was a botched finish initially, but looking back on it again, I have to reverse my decision and no, it was not. So I think it all went according to plan because in the end here, this really should have been a one-on-one match. This was supposed to be Becky and Ronda Rousey. With all due respect to Charlotte Flair, she was not supposed to be in the match.
Which means you don't respect Charlotte Flair.
I hate saying that. I got to stop saying that because you use that line to me all the time. But with Charlotte, she got her ass kicked by Becky Lynch on the outside. She never made it back in the ring. The storyline here was that Becky beat Ronda Rousey fair and square. Charlotte, I guess, essentially, she was just a prop. She was just, I mean, she was part of the act, but she was not part of the scenario for the pin. And yes, Becky has pinned Charlotte before. This story told us that this was about Becky closing out the previously undefeated streak of Ronda Rousey, the top signing for WWE in a long time of Ronda Rousey. And then for her to have that moment there, the WrestleMania moment, there's a reason why Becky Lynch, what is her nickname? The Man. She is the Man because she beat Ronda Rousey in front of 82,000 people. Charlotte Flair was on the outside. She got beaten by Becky Lynch. And again, I think there was so much hype going into it, rightfully so. But by the time the match had gone off for the crowd and maybe even people watching at home, just so tired. And it wasn't really heavily invested as we had so much emotion earlier in the night with Kofi Kingston and Daniel Bryan. Other matches too. But that was mainly, it was hard to kind of get that adrenaline back up there because of the time on the clock as the time it went off at midnight. Monday morning, main event, Monday morning.
The women hit the ring at midnight, or their entrances were at midnight.
Yeah.
And I thought they'd give them 11:30, but they gave them midnight instead.
Midnight, yeah. So, in the end, I was fine with the match. I thought the event was great. I thought, you know, it was not the match of the night, but I was okay with the finish, and I was okay how they executed everything. So, good job.
The finish on Sunday, I think, was the correct finish as far as what they had game planned for. I think that finish served a lot of purposes. So work with me on some of the logic here.
Let's hear it.
Becky wins both championships, which is the finish and the moment that the fans wanted to see to end WrestleMania. Charlotte gets the grand entrance. She pays tribute to her dad, which it reminded me of when Ric Flair came to Dallas to drop his world championship to Kerry Von Erich at the old Dallas Stadium. I thought Charlotte looked stronger in the match than you described, but I won't nitpick it. And Ronda Rousey, she was defeated, but the defeat was in question.
Yep.
So if there are no automatic rematches anymore, and she has clear video evidence of the referee mistake, which there is, she can get her rematch. She has a legitimate gripe to get her rematch. Why I think it was the actual finish. This is a production observation. Nerdy producer here alert. When Ronda usually goes for the Piper's pit, she always lines up with the hard camera. In other words, when you're watching on television, you can see Ronda Rousey clear as day looking at you with the opponent on her shoulders. Lined up perfectly. This time, she was looking at the fans. She had her back to the hard camera. Then when Becky countered into the crucifix pin, which ultimately led to the fall, the production crew had all of the right shots lined up. Hard camera, cameras on the side of the ring, and that's reason one why I think it was part of the, it was a planned finish. Also,
okay.
The ring mics, when I went back and watched this, were a lot louder than normal. And I heard the referee clear as day say 3. So if that was an incorrect finish, the production crew certainly knew how to shoot it.
Yeah.
Also, Michael Cole was very clear in his commentary, screaming shoulders down, shoulders down. So, and if you want to dig a little bit deeper into the history of Charlotte and Becky matches, I believe that Becky won the SmackDown Championship from Charlotte at Hell in a Cell kind of out of nowhere, and it was a little bit of a strange finish. It was a Charlotte spear that went into a Becky DDT, and Becky got a 3 count kind of out of nowhere. And maybe those two out of nowhere finishes are because Becky's normal finish is a submission, and Vince or creative or Ronda or whoever wanted to protect Ronda, and they didn't want her tapping out, or Ronda didn't want to tap out, or in the case of the Hell in the Cell match, Vince didn't want Charlotte tapping out. Like, I don't know who made that decision or who griped or who didn't gripe, but that might be why it was kind of a pinfall out of nowhere.
Yep.
Bottom line is I didn't love the actual finish of the match per se, the execution of it. And it felt kind of a compromise of a finish. I still think that Vince wanted to put Charlotte over Ronda clean in the middle. That's not any inside information. That's just an opinion.
No.
I don't think that a Ronda tap out was in play, though. For the fans, again, going back to the fans, the Becky tapping out Ronda should have been the finish. Because I don't think many people will, unless they harp on it, I don't think many people will remember it. I mean, and I don't think it hurts Ronda at all. In the same way, I don't think that Becky tapping out Asuka at the Royal Rumble hurt her.
Do you think that Ronda, see, from us talking before here the last few months, that Ronda refused to do the tap out? She would take a pin only.
I could see it, but I don't have any insider information on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I don't have the insider either, but I'm just, that's where
I purposely have not asked on anything. I've tried my best to Sherlock Holmes this.
Yeah, I just think that I her behind the scenes, like, I'll take the pin, but not the submission. And then she goes away for a little bit, does her thing, and maybe she comes back in about a year.
Well, whether she wanted to go away or not, supposedly she has a broken hand, so she's going to be away.
Okay, so she's off the record. Well, she's off the TV for a long time then. If she's going to hopefully start a family too for her personal sake and her family's. But it's just, you know, the execution of it, I like how it went down. It wasn't my favorite. I was kind of surprised. I think it was more of a surprise for everyone. And maybe, you know, the timing of the event. All right, bring it home. Let's go. Bring it home. But the fact that she did pin her 1, 2, 3, shoulders down, shoulders down, shoulders down. That's how it finished. And that's how I think everyone will perceive WrestleMania 35, that this was Becky's moment when she won and pinned Ronda Rousey in the end to become SmackDown Women's and Raw Women's Champion.
And that'll be the focal point of the main event going forward, is that it's Becky two belts now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Mike, what other takeaways did you have from the weekend?
You know, WrestleCon did that on Friday and Saturday. Second time I had the honor of meeting the Iron Sheik and Bret Hart. Also Sergeant Slaughter. First time meeting Lex Luger. Very excited about that. That was fantastic. And then Friday, being in NXT, we were up in the skybox, which was very nice, with some people of NXT. It was awesome. Really enjoyed that. And the show, like, Jimmy, you and I talked about this a couple of weeks before. Like, I wasn't really invested in NXT, and I had been to NXT shows before, but now I'm like all in on it. It was just awesome. Like, it was just so fun. Great talent. I love the Gargano-Adam Cole match. That's a candidate for match of the year for me right now. The women's Fatal 4-Way match was great. Shayna Baszler winning that one. The tag team match to open up the show. I thought the Walter match went a little too long, but it was still good. The United Kingdom title, great event, great time, NXT. And then on a personal note too, on Saturday, fortunate enough to be a guest of Brutus the Barber Beefcake at the Hall of Fame. And it was fantastic. Going to the WWE hotel in Brooklyn, hanging out with the talent before in the hotel lounge, and then essentially, you know, going through security in the metal detectors, and then jumping on the bus. We were chartered right there to the Barclays Center. That was really cool. Kane was sitting behind me. Kane was sitting behind me on the bus, and right in front of me was Mandy Rose. And I'm like, all right, this is really cool. Seth Rollins was one row to my right. Becky Lynch was two rows in front of me. So it was like, this is surreal, really surreal. And going backstage, seeing the gorilla position, hanging out with Brutus and his family, seeing Hulk Hogan and the Bret Hart situation, which everybody saw in the news. We all saw that happen where the crazy fan jumped in. It was just an awesome night and something I'll never, ever forget. The Hall of Fame induction ceremony for now my friend Brutus the Barber Beefcake and the entire class of 2019, which I think was a very strong class. And hats off to the WWE for giving, you know, China the due that she was earned there for D-Generation X. So it was an experience that money could not buy, and something I'll take to my grave.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
For me, my number one moment from the weekend was Matt Taven winning the Ring of Honor World Championship.
Yeah,
and
Matt.
It's been since the summer since he's been talking about being the real world champion. And he's been bleep talking it for so long. To me, it's funny, but for me, it's personal. Matt's a friend, and if you've listened to this podcast, you figured that out. I know he's put so much hard work into pro wrestling, And for me to be there in that building for his moment was really, really special to me on a personal level. I get to sit with some of his friends and family. I was standing next to Jay Lethal's parents during that match, and they're like calmly cheering for Lethal, and meanwhile you've got other people in the suite who are loud and obnoxiously cheering for Matt Taven.
Did you have to break it up?
No, I had a nervous pace to myself.
Yeah.
I wasn't as animated as I was at NXT, which the whole world saw. Overall, being in Madison Square Garden and seeing my friend achieve his dream and winning a world championship, especially a ladder match, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like
oh, yeah.
Madison Square Garden and ladder matches. And I thought him and Jay and Marty the Melvin, I thought they had a really outstanding main event match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a few other kind of thoughts, like for me, it was really a bucket list item that I got to see a New Japan show in addition to seeing my friend win a world championship. I loved the Ring of Honor Super G show.
Yep.
I get to see Okada win the IWGP championship, Ibushi beat Naito for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship.
Nice.
I saw Tanahashi tap out, which I didn't think I'd see. I've been a long time viewer of New Japan. For me, it was just a treat to see that level of pro wrestling live and in person and in such a historic building.
Absolutely. And, you know, yeah, the Madison Square Garden factor, where it all started there for WrestleMania in Vince's backyard. And just one more thing, too, Jimmy, if I can just go back to the Hall of Fame. I mean, like, you know, seeing the reaction of Brutus Beefcake and his family, his lovely wife, Missy, just two great people. And that was the signature moment of his career, being inducted into the Hall of Fame. He even said that. And it just meant so much to him. You could see it. And the way he was talking about it afterwards and before, it just was a surreal thing to kind of see that through the eyes of his success was really cool, and kind of live that way for that one night was really cool. And, you know, even before too, a little like for the friends and family, they put you in this little room before, just having food and, you know, some soda and water, to hang out, and you're just rubbing elbows with everybody, the Usos, the Miz, you name them. Ronda Rousey was right there. Everybody was right there. It was a really cool thing, and one thing that I will never, ever forget. It's certainly a top 10 moment in my life to be a part of that Hall of Fame ceremony. And, Jimmy, I know you told me off the air a few weeks before when I found out I would be a guest potentially, and you said, you got to go to it. You got to go. And we were glad we figured this all out. And Andy Wong, you know, a friend of ours and many listeners here, he's the guy that helped put that together. So it was a great time, the Hall of Fame, and wonderful people for the Brutus Beefcake family and friends.
Just that VIP experience just sounded
amazing.
Fun. But
yeah.
The next moment of my weekend was NXT on Friday night.
Yeah.
And you touched a little bit on it. And to confirm, yes, that was me sitting ringside. Yes, I am that bald. And yes, I am that invested in sports entertainment, professional wrestling.
You had a good seat, Jimmy.
Hashtag blessed. I love the Cole Gargano match. Great action, great old school storytelling in the ring. That's what I love so much about this match, is it was your classic 2 out of 3 falls. We're building. And as you could tell, I was into Adam Cole and I wanted him to win. But the story was Johnny Gargano winning the big one. I think this was the finish, whether it was Cole or Ciampa. It was, of course, originally scheduled to be Tommaso Ciampa. He's got the neck injury. We don't know if he's going to come back. If I had to put money on it, I'd say he will come back. I was cheering for Cole. I wanted Adam Cole to win. I'm not disappointed Gargano won. It was his moment. But
and Jimmy,
was, yeah.
And how cool is that too with the crowd? Johnny Wrestling, Adam Cole.
That's NXT right there.
Oh, so good.
That's,
if you haven't been to an NXT show, anybody listening, go. Make it happen.
Yeah, and I think the thing for me, like being in the spot that I was, I felt a little bit more energy from the crowd.
Sure.
And that was every match the crowd was invested in, from War Raiders versus Black and Ricochet, which was amazing. Yep. I'm a huge fan of Ricochet. Entrance, ability, look, everything he's got. Dream versus Matt Riddle. Matt Rydell, Matt Riddle, whatever it's pronounced.
Yeah. Potato.
Had a had another match with a finish out of nowhere. Yep. That was good. So I think Walter's limited. I'm not a Walter guy. I was upset that Pete Dunne lost.
Right.
Even if I knew it was coming. I love Pete Dunne. I think he's awesome. He reminds me of he's a more modern day of version of Taz, I think.
Mm.
Obviously, one's a European style and one is a more of a submission-based mat wrestler, but just the look and the toughness, that's where I'm coming from with Pete Dunne. I love Pete Dunne. I think he's fabulous. I'm a Shayna Baszler guy.
Yeah.
I was the one person in the building who was happy that she retained the NXT Women's Championship. I jumped up the first time that she put the choke submission on. I jumped up and I was screaming for the tap out, didn't get it. And then the second time I'm like, oh, well, that's got to be it. But I thought the women had a fabulous match too. I just overall, I love the NXT experience. And, you know, I was a little bit more biased because I was blessed to be sitting where I was sitting.
Yeah, no, and that's an unbelievable opportunity, Jimmy, and NXT TakeOver front row where you were. That's pretty darn awesome, dude. And that's something I would be taking to my grave. I mean, you'd rate your life how you want, but that's a top 10 moment in my book if I were you.
And Gargano and Cole had what I would consider one of the matches of the night. I want to go back to WrestleMania. Kofi and Daniel Bryan had the match of the night for WrestleMania, and I think that one is a candidate for match of the year. Mm-hmm. And that is a moment that Kofi Kingston winning the WWE Championship, that is a moment that is going to live in the history books of WWE. And it was such a fabulous moment. The match, amazing. The psychology, the storytelling in the match. The crowd was there for all of it. I know going into WrestleMania, I felt Kofi was winning from the point that they put him in the story. And why that is you think of Vince McMahon put together New Day.
Yep.
All these years ago, and New Day worked at it and worked at it and worked at it and became one of the more popular / over groups with adults, and they sell merchandise to kids, and that is the perfect combination for what the WWE is going for, and I think that's the ultimate reason why they decided to put the championship on Kofi Kingston.
And you know what? Good for Kofi here in this situation, because the other thing too, Jimmy, I thought the match started a little slow, and I think a lot of people did around us.
But that's okay. That's storytelling.
Yeah, they picked it up. They picked it up, which was great, because you'd rather it start slow and then go full speed ahead. You're right. Candidate for match of the year, hands down match of the night at WrestleMania 35. Huge moment. You know, in the first ever black champion as a WWE champion. The first ever WWE black champion. That's a big thing, and I think it's well overdue. Granted, Mark Henry, he was the world heavyweight champion, Booker T, but this is the WWE championship, the one that the company is behind for 60, 70 plus years now. You know, that is their title. Okay, so that's a huge thing right there. And I just think that, you know, could you have had that as the main event? Sure, but you were so invested on Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda Rousey for the last 6 to 9 months, maybe even a year now at this point, close to it, for that scenario. They were too deep on it. So this could have been, but because of all of the, you know, the heavy investment there, that's why it was placed on where it was. And this match, I believe too, Jimmy, I think it went off at like 9:30 at night.
I think it ended about 9:45.
Okay, so maybe, yeah, so a little after 9:20-ish, somewhere in that ballpark.
You know, with intros and everything. Yeah, 9:15, 9:20 sounds about right. But the thing that I thought of when the match hit the ring was, and when it ended was, when does SmackDown end? It ends at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, Eastern Standard Time.
So if they're formatting this show that's when a big moment happens, is the end of SmackDown. And you're conditioned for it. And the match placement, I think there are people out there who are criticizing, oh, well, it's the WWE Championship. Why are you putting this match here?
Yeah.
And I think it was perfect placement because if you're timing out the show, you have the two-hour pre-show, which I understand not everybody's in there at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
But your show starts at 7. As this match is ending and you're doing your celebration, you're at the three-hour mark.
Right.
And that is usually when WWE shows historically have ended. So that is the perfect ending climax point because I think the show, while I liked the show as a whole and I thought it was a really good WrestleMania,
yeah,
we were all tired after Kofi won.
Way too tired. And I know they tried to calm it down with the, you know, Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre, Triple H, Batista, Samoa Joe, Rey Mysterio. It's like, oh my gosh, how many? We were counting how many more matches until Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda Rousey. We were counting.
And I think that's one of the issues overall with WrestleMania is too many matches, too much. And again, you're worried about, well, how am I getting at home?
So if you want to do that, this is where the WWE has to really reconsider something. And I'm dead serious either. If you want to have your 17 matches, if you want to make it 7 or 8 hours, please move it to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not joking either. That is insane of what we had to go through there. You know, and it's nighttime too in the Northeast. It's a little cooler early April. You know, I mean, you didn't have people wearing shorts and a t-shirt. If you did, God bless you.
I brought a hoodie.
Oh, yeah. I was wearing a hoodie. I was wearing my Under Armour turtleneck, too. It was cold.
I had shorts. Shorts, a t-shirt, started my night, and then I went into a hoodie.
You're wearing shorts?
I was wearing shorts, yes.
Wow. But you were also in a suite, right?
That is true.
Yeah. So, yeah, that should be prefaced before we give you the Stanley Cup over there. But, yeah, it had to be, you know, move it to the afternoon if you want your 8 or 9 hours. I have no issue with making an all-day thing. But please, move it up early. No need for this at 5 o'clock. And it's a Sunday, too. It's a Sunday. People got to work the next day. It's not like, you know, everyone's taking the day off like after the Super Bowl. It's not at that caliber, WrestleMania. I'm sorry.
It's one of the more funny things is at NXT, there are Fight Forever chants. And I'm like, no, I have a life. I have other things I want to do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good with them not fighting forever. They can fight for a good amount of time, but not forever. Quick aside, the eco-friendly championship. So I met Daniel. I saw Daniel Bryan on Saturday.
Yep.
And the eco-friendly WWE championship, the authentic one, was amazing to hold.
So ugly.
And the ones that they sold at the WWE Superstar sold out day one. $425 a pop.
What a waste of money.
And
what was the text message I said to you after? What did I say to you?
You called me a not-so-nice word.
No, I didn't.
When I texted you a photo of
eco-friendly,
you called me a not-so-nice word, which I actually liked. I like it when you fight back.
But what did I say to you after Daniel Bryan lost that match? What did I say?
Oh, that they should throw it in the garbage, or they threw it in the garbage or something.
Throw it in the Hudson River.
Where are your text messages?
I never want to see it again. Throw it in the Hudson River, I said. And I hope it is lost, or I never want to see that piece of garbage again. That was terrible. And that was a big pop. That was a huge pop, Jimmy, when, what's his face, Big E Langston, he goes to the table.
Throw that bleep box wood out in the Hudson River.
There you go. And Jimmy told me a couple of weeks ago, and I said, oh, I hate that thing. Jimmy's response was, you hate the environment.
You do hate the environment.
So if I want to throw it
in
that
river,
by the way,
who told you that they were going to get a photo with the eco-friendly championship?
You did.
You're welcome.
But yeah, no, that's fine. I respect that. But you should also respect the big pop of the crowd there when Biggie Langston pulls off the tarp there, and boom, you have the beautiful WWE Championship. It's a beautiful thing.
By the way, there would have been a great internal debate in my mind had I gotten this to the WWE Superstore and they had an eco-friendly belt available.
Oh,
may have made a purchase there.
Did you?
I did not.
Okay.
But there had it been available, there would have been a major internal conversation.
Get it while it's on sale because those usually pop up.
That's $425. That might not be in my bank account now.
Do that in your time.
Oh, I was. I was 100% doing it. That's why I sent you pictures with it. Because I was out to prove you wrong.
No, I thought it was funny.
Another kind of cool moment for me for WrestleMania was John Cena making his return as the Doctor of Thugonomics. Thugonomics. That was not me mixing that. That was me stuttering. For me, Big Match John is one of my favorite performers of my WWE viewing lifetime. I was happy to see him do a throwback and actually get cheered by the WrestleMania crowd, because that's always a tough crowd, and he had them during the wrap, and I got to see John on Friday. Was my first stop. I got to see John at a book signing event. Cool. He's awesome. Awesome. I love him.
Yeah, no, and that's awesome. And now I got to tell you, Jimmy, here's something. Shout out to Joe Murray, who was with us last week over under podcast on 98.5 B-Pod Studios. And Joe, who I was sitting next to during the show, and I'm going to call him out here, but I'm going to do it. Joe said, what is the Doctor of Thugonomics? He didn't know the whole background of John Cena there. And I was like, oh, you don't know that? And he goes, well, I didn't really watch during that time when John Cena was just starting. So I kind of had to tell him about that. You know, he'd go into visiting cities and wear the basketball jerseys of the opponent to get the heat, more or less. Like, you come to Boston, you wear a New York shirt or something like that, and then a backwards hat and then his chain around him. So he didn't really understand it. I don't think he really appreciated it too much, but he did catch on to it. And I think when John Cena did say, let me turn heel here for a minute, I think the crowd just lost it. Like, okay, we've wanted this for a long time for you to turn heel. And that was a big thing right there. By the way, John Cena, too, he was also at the Hall of Fame induction ceremony for the Warrior Award for Sue Aitchison, who works for the company. And he is a saint to her. He has done over 600 Make-A-Wish appearances. That is incredible. So John Cena, hats off to him for his charitable work.
Yeah, and John did more than a dozen over the weekend.
That's added onto his resume.
And that's not a surprise to anybody who knows John. And John even has said that the fact that somebody wants, that they have one wish and they want to meet me, like, that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
That's a there really cool thing.
Yep.
You know, just a few other kind of notes.
I have a little thing on John Cena, too, for WrestleMania. You want to hear that?
Feel free. Rock and roll. Yeah.
Well, just a little sidebar. He originally was supposed, from what I'm told, he was supposed to be in the Kurt Angle Baron Corbin match. Now, in that scenario where he came out to do the rap on Elias, that was supposed to be The Undertaker, but that's why they moved The Undertaker to Monday Night Raw. The reason why John Cena was not in the match there with Kurt Angle and Baron Corbin was because Vince squashed it and he wanted to put Baron Corbin over, which, apparently, the plan going forward is for Baron Corbin to feud now with Roman Reigns. And I think they're going to, you know, tag off the stuff where Baron Corbin said, well, I retired Kurt Angle, and Roman Reigns saying, I retired The Undertaker. So they're going to feud here on out. But that is why you saw The Undertaker the night after on Raw, to let Baron Corbin have his moment there with Kurt Angle. Little sidebar for you guys.
So my understanding was John Cena didn't want to work a match on WrestleMania.
Okay. Well, you know, we're just telling you, we're insiders. We're trying to tell you what we hear.
Oh, I'm not an insider. I'm just a gossiper.
Sure. Same thing.
It really isn't, because insider means you have responsibilities as some type of journalist. And of course, we know I have no journalistic integrity whatsoever.
We're the gossip show. So there you go. This is what we hear, and we tell you. Boom.
Yeah. And by the way, we both could be right, because our sources could be, you know,
just telling you what we hear, so believe what you want. You know. I don't care. It's fine. But, yeah, it's a nice little tidbit. Boom.
Boom. My tidbit, too.
I thought the open was great, though. The opening match, Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins. That was a good way to start off WrestleMania. I like that.
And supposedly that wasn't decided upon until 5:30 that day, that match was opening.
No kidding. That's pretty cool. Well, yep. Brock Lesnar got the hell out of there to Vegas.
Yes, he did, where he'll be ultimately appreciated.
Did you see Daniel Cormier's tweet, by the way?
Yes.
That was awesome.
Yep.
Brock Lesnar got his ass kicked.
Yep. Any other things from the weekend that stand out to you, Mike?
I mean, I'm just going to tell you right now, if you've never gone to WrestleMania, we've talked about it before. Definitely, if you're a wrestling fan, you've got to put this on your list. I was fortunate enough. This is my fifth overall WrestleMania. I thought it was a good show start to finish. Yes, the length of it, a little too long, but just the signature for me was the Hall of Fame with, you know, rubbing elbows and talking to the talent, being at the after party as well, on, you know, Sunday night into Monday morning. It was just well worth it. And yes, the fact that I was able to drive from Boston to New York, sure, I could pack a few extra my championship belts because get them all signed, whoever I wanted them signed by, at the WrestleCon. But if I were to fly, you know, maybe take a couple here and there. But the fact that we drove was a huge thing. So if you've never been to WrestleMania, put it on your list. Next year is in Tampa. It looks like 2 years will be in Los Angeles. That's the rate how Vince has done this the last 10 years now, because 29 was in New York because he wanted to beat the NFL before they had the Super Bowl there. And next year, WrestleMania is in Tampa, and then the following February, the Super Bowl will be in Tampa. So then if he goes to Los Angeles in 2 years, the Super Bowl will be there the year after that. So he's trying to beat the NFL, and I get that. And put it on your list. So if you've never been, definitely consider going to Tampa next year. I'm already excited for it.
I thought Tampa was a switch because they had an XFL franchise. I thought they were originally going to do WrestleMania in Minnesota.
Well, I'm sure the XFL thing had something to do with it, but I think the rate, just what I was saying before, though, that he wants to beat the NFL with the highest attendance ever at the stadium before the NFL can try to claim that there with Super Bowl and then money and so forth. Now that he's back in the game for football, anything to stick it to them. Think about it.
You know that their attendance that they announce is a work number, right?
Yeah, you're counting the janitors, right? The people working at the snack
bar.
No,
they just,
the
they like, Dallas didn't have 110,000 people.
How many did it have, you think?
If I, probably 80 to 90,000.
That's for people that paid.
That's for tickets handed out. I bet it was 80 to 90,000. But they announced over 100,000, which we knew they were going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, did this WrestleMania have 84,000 at it? I don't think so.
82.
But it probably had closer to 60,000 or 70,000. I don't think they got 82 in there.
Yeah, because you're going to close off that bottom half a little bit.
And you have bad sight lines. And, you know, there was a lot of gaps. Like, when they did WrestleMania 3 in the Silver Dome, you could make a case it was 93,000, even though I don't know necessarily that it was, but because they had if that was an open air stadium and it was cold, you weren't cold because you were shoulder to shoulder with somebody who had body heat.
True. Well, you know, the other thing too, I want to say that set, I thought it was a glorified house show set for a WrestleMania. I was disappointed for what they put out there. I didn't really feel any flavor. Like, if you look last year, New Orleans, it had the WrestleMania cursive, like with the French lettering and all that. That was cool. You know, it had the whole, this was just a video board in the back.
I like the simplicity of the set.
Ah, it's boring, Jimmy. It was cut and dry. It was boring. Cookie cutter. Terrible. 29, when I was there, you had the Statue of Liberty. That was cool. And by the way, the lighting was really bad.
Was tremendous because it was right in your face the whole night.
No. The section next to me, it was in there. In their face, and they were chanting. They kept saying, "Turn the lights off." And finally, they listened and they did turn it off. But if you notice, MetLife Stadium's lights, if you have a Giants or Jets game there for Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football, those lights are on. They were not on. WWE brought in their own lights that were red and gold and black and all that. That's their own lights there. They never had the stadium lights on at all. So that's what was in people's faces, and they were screaming. And my section next to me was a victim of that. And it got a little – I wasn't too impressed with it. I thought it could have been a better set for WrestleMania when it's supposed to be your home base of New York. So a little disappointed with that. They could have gone out. But, you know, pyros, good to see that back there. Bring back the pyros. Big fan of that.
That's disappointing. I was hoping that you were getting blinded by light both at NXT and at WrestleMania. I'm sad to hear that.
Well, you know, NXT, when you're in the in a box, you can kind of cover everything, you know?
Well, you know, when you're front row, you don't have those issues.
Well, you know, I mean, I wasn't used to the light. The only light I was really used to was the turning around behind me at the Hall of Fame, because that was the hard camera there. And then the teleprompter was right behind me, too. It was pretty cool. Back of my head, Minute on SportsCenter, shout out.
Really, overall, I think we both, outside of, I think travel, I think getting around New York was kind of annoying.
Oh, my God. Yes.
But everybody's got bad travel stories, and I don't want to take up more of the podcast time on bad travel stories. I think overall, we both had fabulous weekends. I didn't see you, which was a blessing. And
that's how I felt, too.
Next week, we'll have our reactions to the Superstar Shakeup. We might have seen a few spoilers on the two shows this week, but you know, we'll see if that plays out.
Braun Strowman to SmackDown.
Yeah, it looks that way.
Usos to Raw.
The Usos to Raw. Those things both look like they're for sure. You know,
AJ Styles to Raw.
And Finn Balor to SmackDown, probably.
Which I'm okay with.
Yeah, I'm okay with both of those switches.
Yep.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley, at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart.
Becky Two Belt, sayonara.
Hashtag Becky Two Belt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.